Well, tonight we're back in our teaching again about growing up spiritually. We had looked at what was called the natural man and also the carnal man. The natural man was the unsaved person. We looked at what the Word said about those individuals. Also, we looked at what is the carnal man. In other words, a Christian who lives like the natural man. Because sometimes it's hard to tell. You get Christians who, it's hard to tell them between the difference of the saved and the unsaved. We're going to start tonight talking about the spiritual man, a person who's spiritual. Number one, we're going to look at some areas the Lord spoke to me. I had notes and things on here, and we'll probably go in and use some of those notes, but the Lord spoke to me about some direction to look at tonight because of the, we want to become spiritual. How do you become spiritual? And it's like anything. There's a pattern to do everything. I mean, somebody wants to become a certain thing. You know, we have when educational systems run to do different, learn to do different things. And we need to understand, you know, most of Christianity today has no pattern or anything about becoming spiritual. Everybody has their own ideas and their own things, yet the Bible tells you how to do it. But people generally, the church world, doesn't follow it at all. You want to become spiritual. I think especially, I'm looking at in our age today, I think people years ago were much more structured, and Christianity was much more structured. And we need to understand, if anybody wants to be really good at something, they're going to be structured in it. You can't have the philosophy that we have today generally in our public and be good at really most of anything. We have too much, everybody just sort of does their own thing, you know, doing their own stuff. And that isn't the way it works, you know. If you want to, whether you being a Christian or whatever you want to become and do, it requires a structure and a way to work. One of the things that we're going to look at in Joshua tonight to start with Joshua, there's a principle laid down. Whether you understand this, because people talk about, wow, you know, that's back under the law. The principles of the kingdom of God never change. The God under the law was not a different God than the God of the New Testament. The principles of the kingdom follow the same as they always did. And God laid out to Joshua about how to have success and what he was going to do. God wanted him to do. In other words, his part, what he was anointed to do. And it's the same way with us. We have to follow the same principles for success. We're going to start the first chapter. In the first chapter of Joshua in verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan and all this people to the land which I have given to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Now, I want you to see God dealing. God's dealing with him according to words that he spoke to Israel before. God said, I have given to you. You need to understand this, because we're going to talk about this growing up spiritually. One of the things that I say a lot, and I'm going to say this probably a million more times to you guys until Jesus comes, is the fact that most Christians are trying to get what God has already given them. This is one of the great failures of Christianity and Christians, is they're trying to get, instead of receiving from God, they're trying to get God to give it to them. They're acting like he hasn't done it. God said he had given them the land. He said, what's determined to you? You got to set your foot on what I've given. Now, that is, they're talking about a physical land. We in the New Testament, this is a type and shadow of something in the New Testament. See, in the New Testament, whatever our covenant has supplied to us, we need to, in a sense, step on it spiritually or receive it. That's stepping on it spiritually. You need to do that, whatever it is. Like salvation is something that somebody has to go step on. They have to go and take that. Salvation is given to all humanity. A person has to receive. As many as receive him, receive Christ, so a person has to receive him. And when you come into the kingdom, it's the same way. Healing is something you got to go step on. Did you ever notice it don't just come to people? See, it's a benefit of the land. It's in the land, and the land is already given to you. It's already yours. Healing already belongs to you. You're not trying to get God to heal you. It already belongs to you. You got to go step on it. You got to go step on it. So whatever's in the land that God has promised, you're going to have to go step on. And they're saying, this is spiritual law. This is the way it works. This is the way the kingdom of God works. God lays out what he has done for humanity, and then humanity goes out here and puts to work what he said he's done, and we go operate by faith. That's what we do. So Joshua, he told him about this land, about going in this land and stepping on things in this land. So wherever the sole of your foot treads, he said, I have given it. That's past tense. I have given to you. I've already given. The land's already given. See, remember what happened to the spies in the land? God said he gave them the land. They come out the tent and say, no, we can't take it. And Caleb says, hold it. We can take these guys. You know, they're already bred. God's already turned them in our hands. The rest of them, God said the same thing, but they didn't believe it. And sad to say, that's most of the church world today. That's most of Christians today. They're out here. The Bible says it belongs to you, and they say, "No, I haven't got it. I don't feel like I have it, so I don't feel it. You know, I don't feel it. I don't see it, so it must not have been given to me." That's what they do. And understand, see, you can never grow spiritually doing this. It's an impossibility to grow up spiritually thinking like that. You can't. Why? Because the spiritual realm, we're talking about a realm we don't see with the eye or feel with our feelings. And see, this is what most people want. Most people want what I can feel, what I can touch, taste, and smell. I'm sorry, you can't. That's not spiritual. Spiritual isn't what you can touch, taste, and smell. Did you ever notice that? And most of Christianity today, and most people in their operations in Christianity, is all based on touch, taste, smell, and things. And they, you know, whatever I experienced, it happened to this and that. This happened, so it must have been God. All those kind of things. God said, I've done this for you. They say, no, this happened to me, so that must have been God. Not what he said. What happened to me. You know, that's what God is. Now, we want to look here at this. He says, now he went on to tell them about the area that he gave to him. Now, I'm going to just jump over verse 4. Verse 5 says, now listen to what he says to him. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will also be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, he made a statement to him, but it doesn't tell him, we don't have a statement here, and God anointed him, or he felt a great anointing or anything. God just tells him straight out, I'm going to be with you like I am with Moses. See, this man's going to have to walk by faith. He's going to have to believe that that was true. See, the things that are said in the Word about you, the Bible says you have an anointing, you got to believe that. Amen. You're waiting to have a feeling to believe it. 99.9% of the times, you'll never have the feeling. Sometimes the feeling comes. But I notice this, the feeling never comes till I act in faith. Never comes. I always have to act in faith. Now, you might have it as a young Christian, God will give you some things, you know, because you're young and don't know. But you ain't going to stay in the kingdom any amount of years, and he's going to keep doing that for you. He won't. He'll quit, and you'll just walk around all the time in wonderland. But you learn to operate that it's true, whether I feel anointed or don't. Because listen what God goes on and says to this man. He says, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. He didn't say, I'm going to make you strong. I'm going to make you courageous. I'm going to do these. He said, no, you be strong. Why? Because I'm with you. You see, his actions, if he believes what God told him, you know what? He can be strong. He can just say, look, I can be strong. I can do this thing. See, in the New Testament, we have all kind of things said to us about us and what we are. You know, who we are in Christ Jesus. Again, there's a thing that most of the church don't believe. They don't see themselves in that way. They don't talk about themselves being in that way. So therefore, they don't walk in faith of that. And that's why so many Christians, well, you know, I'm just, you know, they're not strong. I just pray for me. I just need strength. I just need, you know, God's anointing is not enough. It don't work. I need a feeling. Give me a feeling, then I'll believe God gave me something. Then I'll believe it. Then I'll be, oh yeah, then I'll be a person of faith. Yeah, sure. Okay. Be strong and courageous, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. You're definitely going to have to walk in faith to divide up anything to any people, because they're going to be always fighting over the stuff. That's what he said. You're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to be courageous. Why? You're going to have to divide the land, not give them the choice. Oh, huh. You're going to have to be a leader. Boy, is that a new thing in America today. We don't have that. Run the polls. Find out what everybody wants. Nobody leads. Hardly anybody leads anymore. That's all, you know. What does everybody want? We've got to keep them happy. We've got to keep them happy. You don't need an anointing for God to do that. You don't need anything from God to do that. You don't even need to get born again to do that. That's, you know. So he told him, you be strong, you be courageous. Well, he's going to have to operate in faith about what he is. God's given me the ability to do this. He's supposed to be strong. He goes on. Again, he says, verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Tells him twice. God starts talking to you twice. That stuff, there's a good chance. You're going to need to know this, because this principle has not changed. You're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to be strong and courageous. You're going to follow the word of God and what God said. You know why? Because most people aren't going to follow it. And you're going to be the odd man out. If you're going to follow the word of God, you are going to be in the minority. You're not. You look through scripture. Nobody was in the majority following the word. Never was. Never was. So, if you're going to follow it, you're going to have to decide. You know, I decided that when I first got born again, what I was going to do. Some people are still, you know, waiting in their life. They've been born again 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and have never decided, I'm following it. I don't care what the rest of them do. They never settle that within themselves. And I settled that the night I got saved. Didn't matter what anybody else was going to do. I'm going to follow God. I don't care what the rest of them are going to do about it. Everybody can do what they want. And this is what I'm going to do. You got to settle that. He says, only be strong, very courageous, that you may observe to do what? According to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Now, God never said he was going to prosper him. He tells him he's going to prosper based on the word of God. Now, the law to them, that was the word that they had. That was the covenant that God had given them. So he had to follow the law. Now, we would turn around, put over, we would talk about the word in our new covenant. This is what we must follow and walk in. The new covenant, in the light of the new covenant. The old covenant was types and shadows of the new. Now, we don't live in the type and shadow. We're living in the real. We're living in the fulfillment. But it is the same principles. The principles never change. Success. If you want to have success in kingdom of God, you must follow the principles of the word. It doesn't matter what else you try to do, be nice, good, or whatever. If you're going to succeed in the kingdom, you're going to succeed in the kingdom of God, to fulfill the will of God, to walk in here, like he told him here, you make your way a success. You determine whether you're going to be a success. God has already laid down the principles for you to be a success. God is not going to make you a success. He already laid down the principles for your success. He always already revealed to us what we had to do to succeed. The word tells us. So, to me, this is wonderful. I'm not trying to figure something out. It's already laid out. Success has already been given to everybody on the face of the earth. It's already been given. People who are not successful, it's their own fault. Now, we don't like to hear that kind of, you know, today, oh, you just don't understand. No. No, I don't understand, because I'm not going to argue with God with somebody who wants to, you know, talk a bunch of dumb stuff. God has laid out the principles of success. It says here, Jesus did. Jesus is the fulfillment of our success. He's fulfilled it. He fulfilled a covenant, and in that covenant, and we'll talk about it. We're going to read scriptures. We'll read scriptures from Ephesians. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In other words, the kingdom of God has already given you every blessing that the kingdom has. It's already given to you. It's not going to be given to you. It's already been given. So in other words, your success in the kingdom has already been given. Isn't that exciting? It's already. I'm not trying to figure out. What I want to do is I want to learn about it. That's what it is. We want to find out about what God has given to us and then step on it. Go step on it. It's in the kingdom. It's ours. It's already good. In other words, when I find out about it, let's receive it. Not sit around and going praying and ask God, we're trying to get it. I'm just trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. I'm trying my best. God told Joshua, this is the principle. You're going to have to be courageous, number one. Don't try your best, because it will never work. Just forget it. Forget your best. If you're going to do your best, I'm just going to tell you right out, you're a failure. You're going to fail. Forget it. Your best. God anointed you. And he just said, be courageous. Act like that anointing's real. Act like it's real. Hallelujah. So, we're supposed to be strong. He said, so we can inherit the land which the Lord had given us. He's only be strong and courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Why is that? That you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You make your way prosperous. God don't prosper you. God's given you everything in His Word to prosper you. You have whatever it takes to prosper you, He has given. What we're trying to do and what we do is through the study of the Word. This is the failure of Christianity. Most Christians know very little about the Word. There's no way to be a success in the kingdom of God. If you don't know what the Bible teaches and you don't know how to apply it, there's no way to be a success. It's about learning. That's what it's about. Now, this is what I've been doing since 1980. I have been out here for 40 years. I have been studying the Word and studying the Word to learn about how the kingdom functions and works, to learn the principles, to walk in the principles of the Word so I can have what God gave to me. I can walk in it and live in it. I'm not trying to get God to give me anything. I don't have to try to get Him to give me stuff. He's already given me everything. He's laid it out in the Word. What I need to do is find out what the Word says. And then I need to believe it's true when I find it. Now, that's where faith comes in. I'm believing that it's true, that it says, He gave me that. Okay, I believe I receive it. That belongs to me. That's mine. See, I've just stepped on it. I've said, that one's mine. That's mine. I'm going to start now to do this. I'm going to start to practice it. See, it don't matter what you learn. It's what you learn and do is what makes you a success. Joshua had to do the Word to be a success. He was not a success by sitting in classes. You'll never be a success. See, we've taught kids today, you go to school, you'll be a success. No, you won't. You go to school and be the biggest failure that ever came out, and you could have straight A's. I know people and that stuff went to school with me. The ones that they thought were geniuses amounted to nothing. Being smart don't make you. It's what you do with smart. That'll show up what you got. And so if you know a lot and do what you know, that's a good combination. So that's the thing. And see, this principle here never changes. But when he said this, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. In other words, the principles that you learn in the kingdom, you apply to your everyday life. Those are the things you talk. When you're talking about doing something, you should be talking in line with what the Word says you should be doing. You should be practicing those things day and night. In other words, all the time, putting the practice of the Word, because that will make you successful. You're talking it, you're doing it, that's your lifestyle. Understand, meditation. You are constantly meditating on something. You have thought on something. Well, what are you thinking about? The Bible tells us in the Philippians what we should be thinking on. So in other words, meditation. You know, well, what good, what's right, what's pure. Well, you have to be thinking on the Word. The Word is what's good, right, and pure, and all those things. You're going to have to be thinking on those things. Why? Because in life you run in, just like Joshua, he's going to have to take this bunch of people that have been just a real pleasure for 40 years. And he's going to have to take them in to give them the land. Do you think he's going to have to be courageous? Sure enough. Do you think, what's it going to take? For him to succeed over there, he cannot meditate on what they do. He can't be spending all his time worrying about all the other stuff that's going on. He can't be worrying about everything else. He got to think about what God said. He got to keep his mind over in the area, and that's what it is. To be a success, and no matter, just in the natural, to be a success at something, you got to be able to keep your mind on it. You're going to have to do that. In the spiritual things are the same way. Spiritual things, keep your mind set on the right things and keep your mind set on there. We're talking about growing up spiritually. If we don't do these things, you can't grow spiritually. You're not going to. It won't happen. This is how it happens. This is the pathway that you follow. So just decide. What you have to decide, you can sit down and say, well, you know, I just don't believe you have to do that. Well, then you go on your path wherever you want. There's one thing as I learned. Practicing this, you succeed. Practicing this thing, you step into things of the Spirit, and you get a hold of things in the Spirit that you I don't know how you get it any other way. I've looked over time. I've looked at people who have been Christians longer than me, who have really done well at it, and I find they do the same things. They do the same stuff. There's a lot of people out here that are so-called nice people, and people say they're nice Christians. Yes, they're nice people. They're nice as a Christian. But spiritually, they've gone nowhere. Today, people think nice is being a good Christian. And those people many times never step on the things of God, never do. What pleases God? Faith. I don't care how nice you are. If you're not walking by faith, you ain't pleased God yet. Did the children of Israel, did they please God not going into the land? Not following? No, you don't please God. No matter what you do and you think's nice or whatever. See, God's interested in faith. In other words, what he says. You know, I don't want to be like the children of Israel. I don't want to wait 40 years, you know, have to drop dead and so somebody else can succeed at something. You know, there's a lot of drag on the body of Christ because of people who don't want to follow God, who want to follow religion. They want to follow their own ways, their own paths. And they become a drag on Christianity, on the Christians who want to follow God, just like the children of Israel. Those things haven't changed. The majority is a drag. The majority of Christians keep God's plan from coming to pass as quickly as God wants it to. They work hard at it, not following the word. I don't want to get to heaven and Jesus saying, "You were a drag." You know, you were just get a life, Ed. Oh my! Praise God. Well, let's look over at Ephesians. We want to look at Ephesians because things we have to know concerning spirituality. In Ephesians, the first chapter, to seeing what the Bible says, it's important that we know who we are. You cannot grow spiritually without knowing who you are. Who and what you are. This is the way it works. You're going to have to know who and what you are. You know, over the years, I've heard Christians say a lot of things. Our ministers say, you know, they talk about people in the world. Well, I'm just like you are. No, I'm not. I can't be like you are. I'd be on my way to hell. I'm born again. The old me's dead. Ministers continually talk like the old man's still alive and running. And that's a lie. That's not true. You're born again. You don't have a past from the time you got born again. You don't have a past. And we talk about it. Doesn't matter if I have a memory about the past, my inner man don't know that past because he was not a part of it. The real me was never a part of that past I had. He never had a part of it. He didn't exist to have a part of it. And so we talk and drag this stuff back and we do all this stuff and this memory of the past. You know how many Christians are just have messed up lives because they live in the memory of the past and the things that happened to them? You know, this is it. I just had these problems because I was raised this way. I decided a long time ago, how could I have been raised that way? I didn't even exist then. How could I have been raised that way? This guy wasn't raised that way. The guy that was raised like that's dead. I just have a memory about that dead guy, and I make the dead guy the living guy, and then I live under the weight of all his stupidity. And then go around and tell people, it's like God's working something out in me. Yeah, he is. God's working something. He's trying to slap it out of you. Yeah, dear God. Now, in Ephesians, the first chapter. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And here we go. Who has, this has past tense, present tense, future tense. It's past tense. Past tense. Has blessed us with a couple good things. With every spiritual blessing. In the heavenlies. In the heavenly places. In Christ. He has. He has. He has. He has already blessed you. Think about it. He has. Everything you read a blessing is something he has. It's something he's already blessed you. It's already done. It's something given. He has blessed you. Now it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. having predestined us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself. See, this is what God did. This is what he's done. This is a done deal. He's blessed you. Now just think. He opens up saying he blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Really, he's telling you why. Because now you've been you were adopted as his son by Jesus Christ to himself. This was according to his good pleasure. God thought it was his good pleasure to make you his child. He thought it was a good idea. He found pleasure in doing that. And he looked down, this is from the foundation of the world. Well, see, God knows everything. He knew you were going to accept Christ. He can't help but know it is God. He knew you were going to make that choice. And he found great pleasure in the fact that you made that choice. He was glad. He's so glad you're his kid. He's glad. Do you really think God's glad about you? See, a lot of people don't. A lot of Christians. You listen to a lot of Christianity and we're a drag on God. We're just, somebody that, we'll never do this right. And we'll just never. They talk like, that we're just a drag on God. No, we're not. God looks at us completely different. But see, you have to know who and what you are. What are you really? See, I believe it, and I believe it proves itself out. You will never amount to any more than you believe you are. Now, is number one, the world has this thing, and you can call yourself great and do all that kind of stuff, but that ain't going to make you great. Because this is what God says you are. I'm talking about not what somebody dreams in their own little mind and say, I'm special. I always like this, be anybody can become president. Biggest lie anybody ever told a kid. What's your chances of that? What's your chances for every kid? So we get every kid in a school to all say, we want to be president. They're all going to turn out to be president. Yeah. Okay. Like that's going to happen. You can be anything you want to be. Get a life. It takes something. There's one thing to see when I found out what God had made me. See, everything else I had before was my dreams. And that's all you ever had was your dreams. But you never had anybody tell you that's going to happen to your life. You were trying to dream for that. You need to understand, we're looking at things that God says you are. These things you can act in faith on and bring to pass about you. This is a total different thing than this have a happy thought stuff. This is something totally different. This stuff is a reality. This is a spiritual reality that is eternal. Presidency of the United States lasts for a period of time. Not what this stuff says. I am this for eternity. This is what I am. This is what I am for eternity. This is what God has made me to be. Just see, all these promises laid out in the Word, they are not to certain individuals or not to... It's whoever believes. And the promises are all based on whoever decides to put their foot on it. Whoever's going to take it. Who's going to step on it and who's not. Anybody can step on it. Anybody can go in the land. God's already given it. Every promise of the land, it's been given. All the blessings of the land. We decide which ones we go to step on and go to walk in. And what we're going to do. But these are eternal blessings. And so, we need to understand, these we walk into faith, we have the guarantee of the Word of God, this thing's come to pass in our lives, and they are not for a temporal period of time. You learn, when you get to heaven, you're going to find out the Word changes not. We're not going to go to heaven and find out, the Word don't mean anything anymore. God's Word's still running everything. Now we get to heaven, we're going to probably find out a whole lot more we didn't know, but God's Word dominates and rules, and that's what makes things operate, and that's the only thing that makes things operate. His Word is what does it. God's words. So, it is well to learn it here because you will have to learn it over there if you did not learn it here. Why? Because nothing of the spirit realm changes. You are not going to step into the spirit realm and you're going to know everything. It will not happen. You will not be able to do everything. You will only be able to do what you have learned to do. And you'll have to learn over there. The principles don't change. Jesus didn't give us principles about how the kingdom worked. The parables are how the kingdom worked. And it don't change just because we die and go to heaven. Why? The principles he taught were heaven's principles. How they work. They work the same. So people who don't like to learn, I don't know, maybe they won't like heaven. I don't know. People who don't. I like learning. See, I've been in school. I've been in school for the past 40 years. I've been in school and I like it. You know, these people, I can't wait to get out of school. What they're saying is, look, I'm lazy. I don't want to learn anymore. I want to stay where I'm at. And, you know, I'm going to just annoy other people. That's what I'm going to do. No, always learning. To me, I like to learn. I just want to learn more. I want to understand more. And the more I do, the more I learn, the more I find out I need to learn. I think, oh my words, now I know that, but now I have 20 more questions about things that I just got because I learned that. So now there's other things I need to know. But we need to learn those things. I want you to read or skip scripture here, something important I want to talk about tonight. As we talk about being filled with the Spirit, and a spiritual person, I want you to see this in Ephesians. Ephesians, number one, Ephesians is a good book for you to study. It's a good book for you to study for the spiritual life. It's a good book because things are said. But in Ephesians, the fifth chapter says this. And we're going to talk about this some. It says, and don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. In other words, that's excess. That's going too far. Drunkenness is going too far. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and told them, if you have a brother and he's a drunkard, don't even as much as eat with him. Drunkenness is not okay in Christianity. It's not all right. He said, listen, don't be drunk with wine, he said, which is dissipation. He said, be filled with the Spirit. Then he says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he tells us, in other words, he says, don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. Now, and then he goes on about singing. Did you ever see a bunch of drunks? You know, they're it. Now, I want you to understand this. We know, most Christians know very little about the Spirit-filled life and know very little about being Spirit-filled, other than we spoke in tongues. This is being Spirit-filled. This is what being Spirit-filled is. I want you to see something. I want you to go back. We're going to go back to the book of Acts. I'm going to go read the book of Acts. Acts, the second chapter. These folks in back the Acts, the second chapter, they got filled with the Holy Ghost. It started off in verse 2, in chapter 2, in verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, understand, it didn't say there was a wind. There was a sound of a wind. And I always love these things. They show like a wind blowing and all that stuff. It doesn't say that. It said it came as the sound of the wind. You know, don't add to the scriptures. See, everybody wants some kind of, they heard this thing, sounded like wind. It says it filled the whole house. In other words, this noise was really loud. It filled the whole place. We know that this is so loud that it goes on. It says, then there appeared to them, it says, dividing tongues of fire, and one sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And it says, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. Now, in other words, this sound was so loud that other people in Jerusalem, the sound, not the wind, the sound like a wind, was so loud, people ran and came to this place to see what on earth is going on. So in other words, the sound didn't just go and stop. People heard it and came to where the sound was. So they got there, the sound. These people from all these different nations, they were confused. Why? They heard them speak in their own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all of these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? There's an absolute miracle took place. This is one of the things that what we don't know very little about in the church world today. We don't talk about is about the actual gift of tongues in manifestation. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14 chapter. He talked about tongues being assigned to the unbeliever. We know nothing about that in the church world today. These are things that don't operate in the church world today. We don't have them, this operation. And this is an operation that we see right here. Tongues is a sign to the unbeliever here. This is a sign. They didn't interpret anything, did they? They didn't interpret. Why? They heard them talking in their own language. They said, how can we, each one of us, hear in our own language? In other words, everybody knows that they're talking in tongues, and we know that what they're saying, these people know that they're not speaking in their language, yet they hear them. I've done that already. I've heard somebody talk in tongues, and I heard it come out in English. To me, it was just as English. But I knew the person was talking in tongues, but I could hear it in English. I could hear it. See, people do that. They'll hear things in English. This happens. This demonstration of the Spirit, years ago, used to be a pretty common place, would happen in meetings. Somebody would be in a meeting, and somebody would speak in tongues, and an unbeliever was sitting there, and they would hear a language that they weren't, like, wasn't English, talking in another language. Brother Hagin had it. He said, in one meeting he was in, he spoke in tongues. A guy said to him after the meeting, who was a sinner, who got saved in that meeting, this guy was from some place in Europe, but anyhow, he said, when you spoke in tongues, he said, you spoke in a certain dialect, and he said, that dialect is a dead language. He said, there's only a few people in the world today that know that dialect. And he said, I'm one of them. And when he said, I wanted to see how you were going to interpret that. And he said, you interpreted it perfectly. He said, where did you learn that language? And he said, I don't know that language. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know that language. You see, that was a sign to that man. He got born again because of that. See, it was a sign to an unbeliever. Sign to an unbeliever. We know this thing took place as it did because what happens to the people that go on, they heard them. It goes to verse 9, 10, go through all the countries that are there, the Cretans and all that stuff. It says, in verse 11 says, in Cretans and Arabs, he says, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful... Now, were they talking the wonderful works of God? So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking and saying, they are full of new wine. In other words, they're drunk. Because look what... We know that that's what he was talking about. Because Peter stands up. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose. They thought they were drunk. He said, what does he do? Peter gets up by the Holy Spirit and says, you guys think these guys are drunk. They're not drunk. Yet being filled with the Spirit is a similarity of being drunk. Why? They're doing something. They're talking the glories of God. They're over here, you know. They're acting a bit drunk. You get real full of the Holy Ghost. I've been to meetings. People get full of the Holy Ghost. Get drunk. I've been drunk hundreds and hundreds of times. You can get drunk. Get so full of the Holy Ghost. Well, here's one of the things, and we need to understand this, is concerning these signs, because we're dealing over here, it lets you know what's talking about here, it says. What the ones that are filled with the Spirit, they're singing. One of the signs of being full of the Holy Ghost is not just speaking in tongues. You can speak in tongues one time, you spoke in tongues, but never stay full of the Holy Ghost. Being full of the Holy Ghost, you know, is one of the signs is, you know, if it's like I said, I got laughter in me. I got stuff in me. There's always a song in me. There's always something on the inside. Always, 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 always. It's there. It's not based upon how things are going, but it's always there. I mean, I can always laugh about things. See, there's joy. There's joy. Full of the Holy Ghost. See, if you don't have it in life, this is why people are trying to, pray for me for this. You know, I might have peace. Pray for me. It's because people ain't full of the Holy Ghost. You get full of the Holy Ghost, what's going on around you don't bother you. See, those people out there, they're out there praising God. He says, see, people, there's one thing. People are always trying to be thankful. I got to remember to be thankful. You get full of the Holy Ghost, you'll act thankful. That's being full of the Holy Ghost. It is just in the norm to praise God and give Him glory. That's the norm of the Spirit-filled life. These things are the norm of the Spirit-filled life. It's staying Spirit-filled. He said, don't be drunk with wine. I'll tell you, people think something's wrong with you if you act like this. I've been at meetings already. One time, you know, I was, this was years ago out at Rhema. Brother Hagin was ministering in a Holy Ghost meeting. And the power of God fell into place. I mean, it just, I had went out. It was a winter Bible seminar. And I was staying with a friend of mine's house, Rhonda Lynn. And it just, I mean, the power of God just fell into place and people were just downright drunk. You had to really watch who you got close to because some people were really drunk. And this is what happens. You get near people, it gets on you. And people would walk near other people and they just drop. You know, they get near them and drop. And so I thought after about an hour stuff of this was going on, and man, I'll tell you, I was just downright drunk. I thought, I don't need to get near anybody else. These people are drunk. I'll never forget, I walked out the parking lot. There's people who tried to leave the building walking out. There must have been 100 people at least laying in the parking lot. They're out there laid, just out. They're just laid out all over the parking lot. People are laid all over the place. So I thought it's really good. I finally got in the car. I was really doing good. And so I drove to Ron's place, and I drove, I pulled in the driveway, and I couldn't get out of the car. My legs would not work. They were like lead. Like, I couldn't get my, I just sat outside for a long time in the car till I could get my legs moving again to get out of the car. I've had it ready where I've gotten over where the Spirit of God comes on me and I can't talk English and I'll talk in tongues, and sometimes it takes me a while. And when I think in English, I mean, when I'm trying to say something, I'm thinking in English, but it's coming out in tongues. It's not coming out. So you get over and get full of the Holy Ghost. And see, the Spirit-filled today really knows nothing about these things, or don't, you know, these are things that we don't have concerning the Spirit, because everybody, you know, I got filled with the Holy Ghost and that was something happened and I just pray in tongues some and I just do this. But people don't learn to develop and operate out their spirit. Usually their spirit's oppressed by their mental thinking and by however they act in the outside of what they think. It's number one, you're going to have to be courageous to operate in this. If you want to be just liked by everybody and everybody think you're all right and you're cool and you're good, you won't go to this place. Because you know what? You get down to the Baptist church and they look over somebody doing that kind of stuff and they'll swear that that's the devil over there. Because they know nothing about being, the only thing they know is drunk with wine. You don't do that. Boy, you don't do that. But you never get full of the Holy Ghost. And you don't have any ever signs of drunk. It's like Keith Moore said, there's some things in life you just need to get drunk to go through. You know what? You need to know that. This is why Christians can't hold up under pressure. Because they can't drink of the Spirit. They don't know how to. They never learn to flow in the Spirit. They only ever flow out of their mind. They're walking around mental all the time. And lots of times they call faith, even a confession of the Word, is just a mental thing they're doing. It's not out of their spirit. It's not operating out of the inside. Learning to operate out of the inside, learning how to flow out of the inner man. He's learning to do this. And this is what he's talking about. You do this. See, there is a great benefit in being able in doing this kind of thing of, you know, getting over. You know, it's one of the things we need to understand here. It's talking about speaking psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. He's not, but when he talks about hymns, he's not talking about hymns out of a hymn book. They didn't have hymn books. They didn't have those things. Well, it's one of the things you can do is, number one, is taking the Word. I know in the Psalms, one of the things you can do, and I learn to practice to do this sometimes, is I'll sit down and I'll take, like, say, the Psalm, you know, the 119 Psalms, a Psalm about the Word, and I'll take it, that Psalm, and I'll go over, and I'll start singing it. And also, I sing in other tongues. Many times I'll sing in tongues, and I sing out the interpretation of it, and start singing in tongues. You know, you start doing those things. That does something to you on the inside. See, building up yourself in your most holy faith. It says praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking out things out of your spirit, getting your spirit in operation. You got to get over to get your spirit operating if you want to become spiritual. Whichever operates the most, if you mostly operate out of your mentality and your flesh, that's what's going to dominate and rule. That's it. Or you learn to operate out of the inner man. Is listening on the inside. Let the inner man do what he's going to. This is many times people have faith, but they are developed more from the mental than they are the faith that's in them. So the mental keeps the inner man oppressed, and so they think and operate mostly out of what's on the outside. They have within them the ability to do something with their faith, but it doesn't get done because it's oppressed by the outer man. It's oppressed. You know, it's just like when I was in the hospital and I knew I had my flesh is roaring. And so I know I got to get past that to hear what's going on inside of me. You got to learn that. You have to learn. when you're in trouble, you got to stop and learn. I got to hear on the inside. I have never, in any time in my entire Christian walk, since I've been a baby Christian, have I been in a tough situation that God hasn't spoken to me. But every time I did things to hear Him. I'll guarantee every tough situation you've been in, He's talked. If you haven't heard, that's not His fault. You haven't learned to turn off the outer man. You haven't learned to get past to listen on the inside. You got to listen. God, the Holy Ghost, is going to talk to you from the inside. He doesn't roar in your brain or in your... It's not what... It's on the inside. When I got quiet in the hospital, then I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, "So everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about anything." I needed to hear that. See, faith comes by hearing. That's... You got to hear something. You got to hear. You have to know. I've had time and time again over the years, I've had that happen. God speak to me. I knew what to do. I knew what to do or what not to do. And see, that comes by turning to the inside, the inner man. And that's where you got to want to get good at doing that. One of the things is practicing using things out of your spirit. Singing out of your heart. You got a song, you know, sing it. You know, I mean, people... don't necessarily follow. I'll go over to that. People don't pay attention lots of times to things. Let's see. Oh, wrong spot. No wonder I can't find it. It ain't there. Here it is. Okay, now we'll get it. In James, the fifth chapter. James, the fifth chapter. Why don't you see this? Listen what James says. James says this, "Is any among you suffering? Let him call the prayer chain." Huh. "If anyone's suffering, let him pray." Now listen to what he says. "Is anyone among you cheerful? Call somebody and ask them to sing for you." See, if you're cheerful, what do you do? You're supposed to sing. You sing. Well, the same way. You pray, you sing. People, you don't pay any attention to these things in the Scripture. You're cheerful. You're supposed to sing. If you're suffering, you pray. Do you get cheerful? You pray. See, I do this over the years, and it's not to be mean to people. There's people that ask me to pray, and I ask them about praying, and they ain't been doing praying. Well, they'll do it. I tell them, don't bother asking me to pray. Ain't going to do you no good anyhow. I'm going to pray, and you ain't going to pray. Scripture says, if you're suffering, what are you supposed to do? You pray. You need to do that. Why? You need to learn to take a hold of things. You can't always have somebody else trying to do something for you. Because when you need help, ain't nobody else around. I find this out. When a real problem arises, there's usually nobody else spiritual around to get a hold of. Isn't that right? When you really need help, it's always around people that if you say anything spiritual, they ain't going to have a clue. Or ain't gonna... So, you know, you're going to have to learn to get a hold of it. See, we always take the thing about, you know, or says pray, says, goes on, it says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." It says the prayer of faith will save the sick, the Lord will raise them up. But we look at those ones, especially when you're being cheerful. Sing, you know, get yourself over. But learn, there's lots of times that I'm going through something. When I'm going through something, I'll sing. Is number one, you're going to meditate on something. You're going to meditate on something. And if you're going through problems and you're having trouble keeping your mind, it's because of what you're meditating on. Understand that. That's why. Your mind's right. I've learned this. You do something. It's very hard to meditate on a problem while your voice is doing something else. It's really hard to do that. It's really hard. It's the same. You know, sing something good, sing something cheerful, glorify God, magnify God, do things. See, or one of the things, you're either going to use your mind to meditate on the problem and magnify it, but you're going to magnify something. Something is going to be magnified. Getting your thoughts over. It's number one, start doing things that lead you to hook up on the inside. See, the inner man, you may start off in the flesh, but you ain't going to get in the spirit meditating on the problem. That will never happen. You won't get in the spirit focused on the problem. You get focused on the answer. Get focused on what the answer is. And when he's talking about praying here, he's not talking, because he talks about being cheerful. It's number one. It's not praying about the problem. It's praying about the answer. This is where people get, they get over in the problem. They're always, they're whining about the problem. Crying, they can tell. They go tell people what the problem is and they say, pray for me. And all it is a discussion of the problem. They never come and tell you what they're believing. Never. They always come and tell you what the problem is. Well, what do you believe in? Oh, then it takes them 20 minutes to try to figure out words to say that they might. You tell them, what scripture are you standing on? That'll take 2 weeks. I'm not trying to be ugly, I've been around the block a few times. You'll say, pray for you. I say, pray about what? I say, well, you know, this is what I want. I don't care what you want. What God say you can have? What belongs to you? What do you mean, what belongs to me? I'm just hoping God will do something. How you know? Yeah, he probably will. He'll probably drop a rock on your head. What do you think? It's like, you know. And I've had people do this to me. They come and they ask me, would you pray for me? This is what I want. And they're just going through it. And then they say, but now I only want what God wants for me. And I always say to them, you find out what God wants for you, come back and let me know. When you find out what he wants, come back and let me know. So your problem, you have to find out what God wants. They don't know. I've had that, you wouldn't believe how many times. I've had people in our church do that to me, ask me. I thought, I didn't say it, but I want to say, didn't you ever listen to me teach? Didn't you ever listen one time? I only want what God wants. Well, what does he want? This is why you got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. You end up hating people if you don't. I'm serious. I can understand why ministers have to. If they don't, you don't stay over in the Spirit. After a while, you just think everybody's just crazy and nobody's paying attention, and you just get self-focused. You can't do that. You can't help anybody doing that. Nobody ever gets help. You got to get over, you know. You just, you know. Every Sunday I go up and the anointing's on me and preaching. I just believe everybody's going to do the Word of God. I don't think any other way about it. Everybody's going to do the Word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is good. They're all saints, you know. They all got wings. And then I found that it was just their shoulder blades were sticking out. But that's just one of those things. Hallelujah. But this is really an important part of keeping yourself over. That's why staying in the Word, doing what Joshua said, keeping yourself over, keeping yourself where you're singing and stuff. You got to keep yourself over in a positive area. That's where faith doesn't operate over in the negative side. You can't be thinking about things falling apart, not going to work, and at the same time, we're walking by faith. And it's number one, when you're under pressure, even when you're out of your spirit, sometimes your flesh is under a lot of pressure. You have to learn to not let that affect you, because that can wear on your mind and wear on your mind from your flesh. And it is amazing, if you can operate over in the area and sing and do things, how it affects and changes your emotional state. Really, it's powerful. It's powerful music. That's why the devil's so big in music. It's because it's powerful state that it holds over people. That's why the devil uses it so much. That's why the world is so tied to it. But I'm going to tell you what, you got music in you. You can't have the Holy Ghost and not have music in you. You got music in you. Learn to sing that stuff out. It really does. It just helps you. Hallelujah. You know, you can sing songs out that maybe you heard. Sometimes songs come to you that'll just minister to you at the time is going on. There's certain things that just goes on. You know, it's one thing is my mother was one is in the house. My mother sang all the time. She was a singer. She would sing. And my mom, you know, in at home, you'd always hear my mom would be doing working and singing. She would do that. We always get down to B&B's down there. There's Amish girls in there. It's one thing you ought to hear them sing. And they'll be out there stocking shelves and singing. They sing. And I think, that's so nice to hear. They're just singing out there, working. They're totally different. You walk into places in the stores and other people are griping. They're out there stocking their shelves and they're upsetting her. And they're down there doing it singing. Probably don't get paid half of what they do to the other stores. They're happy. My mom would sing and that stuff, you know. And it really is getting over and operating out of the inner man. You really want to get there. The inner man does want to express himself. He does. He loves to express himself. The real you wants to express and allow him to. There's things that he wants to bless you with. You know, speaking the areas of Psalms, we have the Psalms and things set up. There's lots of times where I, in tongues and stuff, or I will just pray it in tongues, and all of a sudden, you're like a, it's almost like a song. It's more poetic in a way. I'm not a poet, but it'll just sort of come out that way. And things that comes up out of your spirit. Many times those things are not for other people. They're to edify you. They're things that you need. The Holy Ghost wants to speak through your spirit to edify you, to build you up. He wants to do that. And it's amazing, you know, some of you are going through things. Man, you need to hear something. That, to me, that always changed everything. Once God spoke to me, that everything's changed now. Once I've heard and I've known, that's it. I'm set. I can stand. God's spoken on the issue. There's not another voice. There's not another one. This thing's set. God said. And see, you want to come to that place. And lots of times that stuff will come up out of you in doing this. And this is why you want to get over into this spirit-filled life. Hallelujah. It's a good one. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why it's one of the things, too, is we want to do, and we'll close with this, but a very familiar scripture is also from Ephesians. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We read these all before our teaching in this subject, but you're going to have to do this. One of the things is Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 11, speaks of Jesus, and it says, He Himself, which is speaking of Christ, gave some to be apostles and some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and what? For the equipping of the saints of the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things, into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, this is really an important thing. No one will ever grow up spiritually without listening to ministry gifts. It'll never happen. You can't grow up spiritually without them. Jesus Christ put them in the church. So we grow up. So if somebody can grow up without them, Jesus Christ is the biggest liar. Apostle Paul lied about this whole thing. We need to understand. I thank God for people. If I would have had to figure out myself all that I have learned over the years, if I'd had to, I mean, there is no way I would even be close to spiritual growth or development. No way. I have never met anybody who's spiritually developed who don't go to church. Never met one. Never met one. Every one of them thinks they are. And every one of them is messed up. All of them are messed up. But see, you're going to have to understand this about revelation. There's revelation, certain things you may never gain without somebody else teaching you. You may never gain. God puts revelation in ministry gifts, gives them revelation. They're for to give to the church. And you're not going to get it any other way than if you hear a ministry gift. There's many times that God had me go listen to somebody teach something. And when I went to that meeting and sat and listened, I heard something I needed. Well, why didn't he just tell me? Why? Because he gave it to that gift. And my response is to go listen to that gift. Give it. Or I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get that gift. I'm not going to hear that. It's amazing to me is there's revelations that I got listening to somebody who God told me to go to. He said certain things were good. But because of things that he was teaching on, it opened up to me some other things that God wanted me to know. But if I wouldn't have gone and done that, I wouldn't have known. Wouldn't have happened. See, well, why didn't God just give it? Why couldn't you just listen? That is the way he operates. He has set up a pattern how he does it. And most of Christianity is going nowhere because it's always making up its own pattern. Its own ideas of how you can grow, how you can do it. No, you can't. God has established a pattern. And he said, this is how the kingdom. Pollard, the kingdom operates in this manner. This is it. If you want something else, go to another kingdom. There is another one. And it's the one you do what you want. And then you end up with nothing you wanted. So you don't want to go there. So I just encourage you as number one. I thank God, you know, as there's like books and things that I have. I look at people. One thing is I look for is I look, and as God's always led me to, look at for people who succeeded at things. I don't care who teaches so-called good things. I look for people who succeeded at things. There's one thing as I learned in life. I remember years ago, I was got over into photography. And so I wanted to learn how to take a good picture because, you know, cameras themselves don't take good pictures. We could do a lot today with things, but I'll tell you, to really take, look at people who are really pros, 99.9% of people, I don't care if they buy a $50,000 camera, will never take a picture because you guys, there's a lot of things you have to learn. And there's a lot of art to it, learning how with your eye and that stuff. And I wanted to find out how to do it. And so I was a sinner, though, at the time. But I thought, I want to learn how to do it. But where do you really start at this thing? Because people would start, you know, some books, people come along and all they want to talk about the camera and they want to talk about doing that. Well, that isn't it. That's not, I found out that has nothing to do with it. The camera itself is not a biggie at all. That's not a biggie at all. There's other things you had to learn about light. You had to learn about how to see a picture. Most people can't see a picture. Here's what people do. They walk out and see a beautiful sunset. Look how beautiful! And they take a picture! Your camera doesn't work like your eye. Did you know that? Your eye can look at a sunset and bypass all the electric lines in front of that sunset. And your eye can look right past that and never see them. The camera sees it all. You have to learn to see like a camera sees. You have to change the way you view. See, like how I view things, if I go out now and I look at things, a picture, people taking pictures, I'd say, it's going to turn out a terrible picture they're taking. This ain't going to work. They ain't going to work what they're doing. Because I learned over time to look like a camera sees. Camera sees it all. If you want to take things around, you've got to change focal lengths. You've got to do all kinds of different things to change things. You have to learn how to see different apertures. You set different things about light that you change. And their depth of field and stuff, how you change things to get the kind of picture you want. And so I was reading after a guy, and he said, number one thing to do, and I got this book, and he was talking about how taking good pictures, and he said, look at good pictures. Look at good pictures. He said, the kind of pictures you want to take, find out what guy, artist, is taking those shots, those kind of pictures, and you look at his pictures and look at them a lot. Sit down and look. Start to look at what he does, what you're looking, what you like. Really, it's a lot of things with God in the same matter. It's what you're looking at. You got to sit down, and it's going to be what you focus on, what you're looking at. See, I always look at people that succeeded. I want to know what they did spiritually to succeed. So I look at people that succeeded. Well, here's what he said. The person that succeeded in what you want to do, find out what they did. Look at their pictures. Study their pictures. After learning about and learning how, I found out then about things you had to do. Well, I went over to started to look about cameras, and I found this out. Having a great camera, what people called a great camera, loads of people had great cameras, but there's people over here with cheap cameras. I had a camera that cost a tenth of what my friends had cameras and buying all this good stuff. I'm selling pictures and they don't sell nothing. Why? Because it isn't the camera. You have an eye for a picture. I was turning on, I forget, I got this one book this guy had and I'm looking at, and it was one of those old Browning cameras, a little square box thing from the 1950s. And this guy had the most astounding pictures he took with that thing, and I thought, my God, this guy... But he knew about light, he knew what to do, he knew what that camera would do, and he understood what that camera would perform, and he learned how to take pictures using that camera. Setting it up for what little it could do, he took astounding pictures, beautiful pictures. And I decided, my words, I have to learn about all this light stuff, and I have to learn about all those things. And that's the way it works. In other words, find out what somebody has learned, somebody that's good and has learned. You need to learn that too. Too many people are hooking up to people who are just like they are. That's who they hang around. That's who they go with. That's who they're listening to. I'm listening to people that are going a lot further than me. I want to know somebody that's going further than me. See, so I hook with you and Randy Greer and them. I want to know because there's people who go there have been around longer than me and who have learned things. And over the years, they've been in this way a long. I want to learn things. I want to know things. They know spiritually. They know things. And see, that's what you want to do. You want to find people who are succeeding. The average Christian is looking for somebody that's on their level where they can feel good at. That's where they want to go. It's a terrible place to be because you don't. Iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. So I look for somebody that's iron. I want some. You know, most people are just where I'm comfortable. That's not where you learn. You know, because I've learned over time as I sit. I remember when I first started listening to Kenneth Hagin. I'll tell you what, he was hard on me at first because he would say things that I would think, oh, because I felt sometimes like he ought to give me a break. God told me, you just keep listening to him. You keep listening to him. And I think, oh. You know, he said, your life turned out the way you made it. And I thought, oh, that's an ugly thing to say. I'm just getting into this. But I did. My life had turned out the way I made it. You know? God never led me, not me, to complain about my mom and dad. He never let me do that. That was, my life's mine, not theirs. I don't care how they brought me up. I'm a changed being. If I decide to go live like that other one, that was my choice. That was my choice as a Christian. Any Christian that falls on that path is living a lie and is following the lies of the devil, talking the lies of the devil. Why? They're born again. They are not in that past. They are now a child of God. They have the nature of God. You can't blame your future because of what they did. You're supposed to renew your mind. Change, quit. In order to renew your mind, quit blaming somebody else. That's how you... That's how. Well, the first thing on the list, you got to renew your mind. I found out that's what I had to do. I couldn't blame anybody else anymore. Boy, that was exciting. I couldn't even blame Wanda. Oh, if they wouldn't do this, it would just be so much better. If they would just stop this, you know, I would just be a better person. I know you've never been there. I'm the only guy that went to that place. Oh my! But you do it. I mean, you fight that every day. It's just so easy to want to put something to somebody else or something else. Or we're not doing well, you know. If our government straightened out, see, lots of people. If the government did all these things, it would just be much better life to live. They're going to be miserable. I don't care what happens. Unrenewed minds. They have to have everything right and running right for them to feel okay. Ain't ever happened. It's never going to happen. And they don't see that. They see, they think, if all the situations work out, when's that coming? When do all the situations work out? You ever been there? I mean, just when I thought it was running good, it fell apart. See, you got to learn. You can still laugh. You know, I can still laugh. I was laughing in the hospital. I was still having a good time. I'm not going to let things get me down. I'm going to whine. I'm not going to cry about things. I'm just not going there. You know, something happens. People sit around. Oh, why did this happen to me? I didn't really give a rip to even think over there. I ain't got time for that nonsense. Oh, I'm leaving the hospital. Okay. Hey, I'm alive. The devil's a liar. We're doing good. He couldn't kill me. This thing's wonderful. It's working really good. Now, people get over, they get all this stuff. They get all their little Wonderland stuff and go to all these places. Don't go there. Don't go to that place. Keep yourself over there. Praise God. You know, I learned listening to Kenneth Hagin. I'm just so glad because of his teaching. Listening to somebody else learning not to go to that place. The wise. You remember he used to say this. Wise lead to whining. And... Man, is that true? You know, why this? Why that? No, you just apply the word to what you know to do. You start operating on it. Get a little smile on your face. Act like God's going to do something. Because you get over and that thing goes, why did this happen to me? I've always got it because over the years I've had people come and they're talking about standing in faith and they say, well, why is this happening? And I know this. You're not in faith at all. You have no stability in this thing. You're still trying to get answers. Faith has the answer. So you can't be in faith. You're looking for an answer. You're not in faith. Why? So get over there. Get in faith. See, if you want God to talk to you and reveal things to you, you got to come to faith first. People are trying to get to God. Get faith. You know, if I can get to God, get an answer, I'll get faith. We need to understand it. Start operating in the faith you got. You set on yourself in faith. You have to learn that. God speaks. I've learned this over the years from the time I was a young Christian. When I move over to the area of faith, it's not hard to hear from God. It's most people are wanting to hear from God while they're not acting in faith. No, faith is what pleases Him. I'm not in a position to please Him for Him to talk to me if I'm over here not acting in faith. I learned where I can stand and know what to do in faith, I start there. I start right there. I'm standing where I know I can stand. Now, I want God to talk to me. Now, see, and this is one of the things, you want to go to the listening. So if you want to hear something from God, you know the first thing you got to do? Keep your blab mouth shut. Quit talking. Listen. If you want to hear somebody talk, you got to stop talking. You know what? When you do that, that's an act of faith. Like you think He's going to talk to you. See, most people never act in faith. Their mouth is running 400 miles an hour saying, God, don't talk to me. Well, if He did, you'd never hear Him any. And you're never acting like He's talking. See, the whole thing is, I was in the hospital. The one thing I wanted to do sitting in that ER is I wanted to get quiet so I could hear the inside. No noise. I want to hear the inside. I can't be running to town. I got to hear. So I got to listen. Why? As soon as I got myself quiet, I could hear Him talking. He was probably talking before I got listening. See, learn to do that. Learn to, hey, act in faith. If you believe He's going to talk to you, then act like He's going to talk to you. Get quiet. Get yourself listening over on the inside. Learn to turn to the inside. What's going on the inside? What's on the outside ain't working. When on the outside's not working, you got to listen. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank You tonight. Lord God, Your word is great. Father, You're just so full of wisdom and understanding. Lord God, You know us inside and out. And You still like us. Hallelujah. Father, I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful that You're teaching us, giving us understanding, giving us wisdom, knowledge. Lord God, Lord, I want to thank Your wisdom just crying out on the streets to us. Lord God, every place we go, wisdom's talking to us. We hear it, Lord God. We respond to it. Lord Jesus, You said, my sheep hear my voice and they know it. Glory to God, I want to thank You. We know Your voice. We hear You. Lord God, we're a people of faith. Father, we're full of joy in the Holy Ghost. Lord God, I want to thank You inside of us. Lord God, there's power and glory in us. There's songs, hallelujah. Lord God, coming out of us, we're full of joy in the Holy Spirit. So we just thank You, Father. Father, You're working in us, teaching us these things because, Lord God, You're taking us somewhere, hallelujah. Lord God, there's a lot of the land we didn't touch yet. But Lord God, we're going to touch into, we're going to step on some things, hallelujah. We're stepping on things in the kingdom, Lord God. Lord, there's some things that people of years past have stepped out and taken, but Lord God, this generation hasn't. They don't know about it. We haven't been taught or walked in these things. I want to thank You, Lord God. The things, Lord God, that I even had the privilege of walking in past years, Lord God, we're going to come back to those things again and walk in those things of the Spirit again. And Lord, go on to many new things of the Spirit that we have not known before. And I thank You for it, Lord God. You're taking us to them and we will walk in them. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.